Morning, everybody. It's lovely to see you all. And I just love that chorus, better one day in your house than a thousand elsewhere. I'm going through a different phase of life. Recently, I became an old age pensioner. Can you believe that, Vincent? And I've noticed that when I'm walking across the street, people are waving me across. I went into the barbers up in Donegal, and he said, oh, you're the pensioners, right? Oh, yeah. But God is good. And, you know, I was just thinking there this morning as we're worshiping, in October 15th, 1976. Now, that seems like a long, long time ago, and it is nearly 50 years ago. I was presented with the gospel, and I was under a place of conviction. There's nothing to do with the sermon, I don't mind. But anyhow, just this was in my heart this morning, and, you know, and I asked Jesus to come into my heart and life. I realized I was a sinner, and I needed a savior. And, you know, I've messed up countless times since. But, you know, God has remained faithful. And 50 years on, you know, he's a faithful God. And it's great to be a Christian this morning. And it's great to be in the courts and the house of the Lord. Amen. We're going to turn to Luke chapter 15. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. And it's the parable of the lost sheep. And it says, then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. And then it goes on to the parable of the lost coin in verse 8, which says, or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which was lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And then we come to the parable of the lost son, and in verse 11, then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. And in verse 17 he says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father and say to him, father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Am I no longer worthy to be called your son? Make me like one of your hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to his father, father, I sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hands and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattest calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and he began to be merry. Now the older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house. He heard music and dancing, So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fat calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years that I've been serving you, I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, came, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me. All that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Amen. And it's very famous in it, the parable of the prodigal son, but there's so much in it. I won't hold you down, but there's so much in it, and it's such a blessing. And I think it's important, the first three verses. The first group is made up of tax collectors and sinners. They came to hear Jesus because they recognized their need. And the second group consists of the Pharisees and scribes. And instead of rejoicing that sinners were coming to Christ, they complained. They said, this man receives sinners and eats with them. And that complaint is the reason that Jesus tells these three parables. They reveal the heart of God towards those that are lost. And this isn't in my notes, and I was just thinking, things go through the head. If I said to somebody today, there was a song in 1975, you don't remember that either. Do you know where you're going to? And it's a huge hit. And you know, if you don't know where you're going to, what are you? Lost, yeah, okay. But anyway, Jesus told this parable because the scribes and the Pharisees, they were having a real problem of that Jesus was sitting with sinners. And you know, I thank God this morning that Jesus sits with sinners. Amen. And there are three words that summarize the chapter: seeking, finding, and rejoicing. And throughout the chapter, there's one repeated phrase: lost and found. And you know, when I was 16, I can go back there again. I knew that I was lost. I knew I wasn't right with God. I wasn't the worst person on the street, but I was far from the best, you know. But I knew, and you know, I just thank God for the Holy Spirit coming and speaking to me at a young age, and 50 years later, we're still here by the grace of God. And Luke 15 speaks about three kinds of loss. Lost sheep. Somebody could say that's merchandise. You might like that. A lost coin. Valuables. A lost son. The value of what is lost grows greater with each story. What does it mean to be lost? The Oxford Dictionary defines lost as something that has been separated from its owner or cannot find its way. Spiritually, a lost person is separated from God. Many of us know what it feels like to lose something valuable. I was just thinking, you know, I'd say everyone could get up and tell stories about losing something, you know. So a few things came to my mind. I used to work in the company called the PNT. Now, you young people don't know what that means. Okay? But it was posts and telegraphs were. But I was on a course down in Port Leash, and I went up to Dublin for the weekend. And at that time, we got paid with a thing called a postal draft. It was kind of like a check, but you could only change it in the post office. And if you lost it, you lived at the last. But I lost my postal draft on a bus in Dublin. So I went back down to Port Leash on Monday. I was telling the boys about my mishap, and they were very kind. They actually had a whip around and gave me, well, that's so kind. I thank you to this day. They didn't give me the full amount, but they gave me something good. But anyway, the best part of the story, about 3 months later, I came in one evening in the truck and into the office, and somebody said, there's a letter here for you. So I opened up, and inside the envelope was my postal draft in another room. With a bit of lipstick on it, like. And somebody had returned it, so, you know, praise God. So I was lost, but it was found. I was a happy man that evening. And my daughter Joanna, one time lost Sheila's ring. We had a lot of grass out the back, and caused a fair bit of consternation now, you know. But there was a lot of seeking and there was a lot of searching, and Sheila eventually found the ring. Amen. And this is the worst example, but it's a good example. In other words, one time we actually even lost one of our children in America in a fun camp. Like, it was a very scary thing, like, you know. But anyhow, thank God for all these three stories. There was a happy ending, and we found, actually, Grace went to one of the attendants, and this message came out: if Sheila Duffy is in the camp, she didn't say my name. She didn't say if Jim Duffy is in the camp. And there might have been a reason for that. But if Sheila Duffy is in the camp, will you please? So we're very happy that our lost daughter, we found her that morning. And you know, the first thing there is the seeking shepherd. The shepherd leaves the 99 and goes after the one sheep. Notice his determination. He goes until he finds it. I think shepherds in Israel are different than shepherds in Ireland. You won't be offended by it. I know you don't do much with sheep anyway. But you know, in Israel it says that the shepherd actually went out in front of the sheep and the sheep followed. In Ireland, my vision of sheep is a load of barking dogs and a load of shouts. And actually, there used to be sheep down beside in the field. And all you could hear when the man went down, there was this roar. And I said, oh, those poor sheep, you know. But it seems to be different in Israel. The shepherd used to sleep with the sheep. And they seem to have a, you know, and it says that they knew his voice, you know. Praise God. But anyhow, they kept going until he finds it. And, you know, sheep are pretty helpless animals. Isn't that right? Like, you know. And, you know, in Isaiah it says, all we like sheep have gone astray, you know. And, you know, that's how God looks at us, you know, kind of helpless. And the sheep couldn't rescue itself. The shepherd must seek it. And when he finds it, he places it on his shoulders and carries it home rejoicing. Isn't that lovely? Praise God. And what a wonderful picture of Christ, the Good Shepherd. Amen. He carried him on his shoulders and brings him home. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. And the old chorus, I'm grateful with the old choruses. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray, threw his loving arms around me, drew me back into the way. Jesus is still looking for lost people today. Amen. And the next thing we read of is about the woman, the searching woman, verse 8 and 10. The emphasis now changes. The woman lights a lamp. She sweeps the house. She searches carefully. She does not stop until she finds the coin. Just like Sheila with her wedding ring, she didn't stop. I can't remember how long it went down. But she does not stop until she finds the coin. And, you know, think back over your life. Can you see God's hand searching for you? Perhaps through Christian parents, a faithful preacher, a believing friend, a gospel tract, maybe, a Christian book. I remember when I was 16 reading Basic Christianity by John R. W. Stott, you know. I had this job that I used to have a lot of free time, and I remember reading that book, you know. You were allowed to do that, you know, it's kind of strange. You don't get jobs like that nowadays, you know. But maybe you saw a video on YouTube or TikTok, a testimony of what God did in someone's life. Or maybe it was just the gentle Holy Spirit, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the kindness of God's people and love that God's people showed you. And you know, long before you sought Christ, and I believe this 100%, he was seeking you. And then we come to the loving father. The young son demands his inheritance. Seemingly, there was two sons. The oldest son would get 2/3 of it, and the youngest son got 1/3. But it doesn't actually tell us what it was. But it sounded like that he got a very big inheritance. But, you know, the sad thing, he wanted the father's gifts without wanting the father himself. So he wanted the father's gifts without wanting the father himself. And it says he traveled to a far country. And I was just thinking in today's terms, how would that be? So he loads up his Revolut account with thousands upon thousands and maybe headed to Australia or wherever. And well, it does say a far country, so I thought Australia does fit that, you know. And, you know, the freedom that he sought soon became slavery. The pleasure became poverty. Friends disappeared. Sin always promises more than it delivers. Eventually, he found himself feeding pigs. And for a Jewish audience, this represented the very lowest point imaginable. Then came a turning point. And you know, there has to come a turning point. I hear a lot of teaching over the years about repentance, and I just think it's an awful simple thing. You know, you change your mind and, you know, that changes where you go. There came a turning point. Verse 17 says he came to himself, came to his senses, you could say. He came to himself. And there was three steps in that. There was the reasoning. Like he just thought back to the servants at his father's house, and, you know, they were well looked after. They had plenty to eat, and they had the basic necessities of life. And he said here, I perish with hunger. Imagine out in the field, feeding the pigs and wanting to eat what they were eating. And then it says, returning, I will arise and go to my father. Repenting, I ascend against heaven and before thee. He left home proud. He returned home broken. The father's welcome. The father had never stopped watching. And it says, while he was still a great way off, he saw him. He ran. He embraced. He kissed him. And you know, I just read this little quote. It says that grace always runs faster than guilt. Isn't that lovely? Grace always runs faster than guilt. Can you imagine the son like raising his head and, what am I going to say to dad now? And, you know, I messed up so bad. You can imagine when he was very looking, the father ran to him, you know. So grace always runs faster than guilt. And before the son could finish his prepared speech, the father restored him completely. What did he do? He told the servant to get the best robe. Get him a ring. Get him some shoes or sandals. And it killed the fatted calf. Wasn't that some welcome home? And the robe reminds us of Christ's righteousness. I am covered over with the robes of righteousness that Jesus gives to me. I am covered over with the precious blood of Jesus, and he lives in me. And the ring speaks of acceptance and restored sonship. The shoes speak, or the sandals speak, a new walk. I can't imagine him rushing off on his Revolut account to Australia too quickly again. And, you know, the feast speaks of fellowship restored. And another thing in the story too, you know, the elder brother, and there's a lot of lessons to learn from him as well. It says, Jesus ends with the older brother because he speaks directly to the Pharisees. The younger brother was lost through rebellion. The older brother was lost through self-righteousness. One was far away, the other was close to home. Yet neither shared the father's heart. The elder brother could say, I have served, I have obeyed, I have never transgressed. Everything was about himself. Somebody says, I, and the middle of sin is, everything was about himself. And so instead of rejoicing that his brother had returned, he became angry. And in some ways, you can understand why he would, you know what I mean? In some ways. He refused to enter the celebration. Are we like that? Am I like that? I hope not. Notice that the father went out to him too. And here again, we see just the loving heart of the father. He went out to him too. He pleaded with him just as lovingly as he had welcomed the younger son. And, you know, the tragedy is that the story ends without telling us whether the older brother ever went in. We don't know. And Jesus, I believe, leaves the ending open, because the Pharisees themselves had to decide how they were going to respond to what Jesus had been saying. Would they continue their pride, or would they enter into God's joy over repentant sinners? The same question is still today. And just in conclusion, Luke 15, I don't believe is primarily about lost sheep, nor is it mainly about lost coin, or not even really about the prodigal son. It's about a seeking Saviour. The shepherd seeks, the woman searches, the father waits, runs, embraces, and restores. And every story ends the same way, with rejoicing. Praise God. And it's what to say that there is joy in heaven over sins that repent. Over sinners who repent. And, you know, perhaps today you can identify with the wandering sheep. And perhaps you feel as lost as the coin. And perhaps you've wandered into a far country like the younger son. Or perhaps like the older brother, you've remained outwardly respectable while your heart has grown cold. The good news is the same for every one of us. Jesus Christ is still the seeking Saviour. He still seeks, he still saves, he still welcomes. And heaven still rejoices over sinners that repent. And, you know, I'm just going to say it today, if there's somebody here that, you know, it's that simple question, do you know where you're going? If you don't know the answer, I'd love to have a chat with you after. I might be able to help. And the leaders, Dennis, you know, or some who's ever sitting beside, you know. But, you know, it's such a privilege to know Jesus as my Saviour. And I honestly look back at my life, and, like, I was a happy enough life, you know, a bit wild, you know. There was Carl was very quiet, and I was quite the opposite, you know. But, and yet, like, you know, God spoke to my heart. Like, I remember talking to a priest at the time, where he told me, if you go down to gym and get a bit of calm water and throw a stone into the middle of it, this will help you. So I duly did that. And so there was all these concentric circles waving. Didn't help me. What's that all about? It didn't really mean anything to me, you know. But I just knew, like, that I wasn't right with God. And I knew that Jesus loved me. And I think as I went on further, I experienced more of the love of God, you know. But, you know, God loves you with the heart of the Father this morning. And he's looking out. If you're not in that place with him, he's looking out, he's waiting for you. And, you know, just in your heart of hearts today, just please respond to God, because all I said was a prayer, like, according to Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and have fellowship with him and be with you. And, you know, like, Jesus is a faithful friend. And I was just really challenged about the love of God today and the love of the Father. And just pray that God will bless these few thoughts. Amen.
We hope you've been encouraged and uplifted by what we've shared. If today's message spoke to you, we'd love to hear from you. Reach out to us or join us in person at Castlebar Christian Fellowship. You're always welcome here. Be sure to follow us for more sermons, devotionals, and updates. Until next time, stay strong in faith, love one another, and keep your eyes on Jesus. God bless, and see you soon.